Welcome to Journal Club for February 21st, 2025. I'm Malcolm Dix. How long has it been since you heard someone say that they were using Fortran? Years? Decades? You probably never heard of anyone using it. You might not even recognize the language if you saw it. That's if you're like most devs, that is. You know who's not like most devs? HPC engineers. They aren't like most devs at all. They work in an environment that is decidedly weird. It's an environment where languages like Fortran abound and are actually quite popular. An environment where batch jobs can queue for days, where computers are cooled by water instead of fans, where performance is measured in teraflops, storage is measured in exabytes, networking speeds are faster than most SSDs, and job failures can be caused by cosmic rays flipping bits. HPC is just a whole other universe. And it's a universe that uses an almost unbelievable amount of power. High-performance computing centers are among the most power-hungry facilities in the world. A single supercomputing installation can draw upwards of 20 megawatts of juice. That's an amount comparable to the total electricity consumption of a small city. The Jupiter system planned for Germany is expected to require an amount of power roughly equivalent to continuously running tens of thousands of high-end gaming PCs at full load. And unlike household electronics, which operate intermittently, HPCs run at near maximum power consumption 24/7, crunching numbers with no breaks around the clock. A high-end supercomputer's annual energy bill will amount to tens of millions of dollars. The sheer volume of the power demand stems from both the scale and nature of the computations being performed. Most modern supercomputers house thousands of individual CPUs, GPUs, and other specialized accelerators, each designed for computational density. While consumer-grade processors prioritize efficiency and battery life, HPC chips are optimized for raw performance and routinely operate near their thermal limits. Every operation performed on these processors generates heat, and in aggregate, a supercomputer produces as much waste heat as an industrial manufacturing plant. To prevent overheating, elaborate cooling systems are needed, and this adds even more energy overhead. And that's just for the processors. There are also massive data lakes and networking layers drawing power as well. So what do you do if you're a progressive, environmentally conscious country, but you also house a number of supercomputers? How do you push a green agenda and run massive computational workloads at the same time? How do you find a balance between those two ideas? How do you reconcile the contradictions? That's what today's article is all about. In this paper, the authors are examining the ways that energy-efficient computing strategies are being implemented in Germany's supercomputing centers. It's an attempt to mitigate power consumption while maintaining high performance. The study highlights a range of techniques, from hardware-level optimizations to large-scale facility management strategies, each one aimed at reducing energy waste and improving sustainability. Today, we're going to walk through each one of the techniques they're using, but first we need to understand something. Why Germany? Why is that country particularly well-positioned to take on this particular kind of challenge? Let's dive in. Germany has some of the strictest energy regulations in the world. The German Energy Efficiency Act mandates that data centers must meet specific energy performance targets with power usage effectiveness requirements by 2030. This regulation is backed up by European Union directives requiring companies to account for the full carbon footprint of their operations, including embedded emissions from manufacturing. Unlike countries where electricity remains relatively cheap, Germany's energy is the opposite. It's very expensive, and this creates additional pressure to optimize consumption. Add to this the fact that the country has aggressive renewable energy targets. This means that HPC centers must integrate seamlessly into a modern smart grid. Easier said than done. Unlike a traditional grid, where the power comes straight from a power plant, smart grid power comes from a variety of sources like wind and solar, which fluctuate over time. This variability means that supercomputers in these centers will need to dynamically adjust their power consumption based on current grid conditions, taking advantage of surplus renewable energy when available and throttling back during peak demand. That's a lot to deal with. Those are quite a few challenges, and each one of them is non-trivial. So how is Germany accomplishing this? How are they satisfying the constraints? One of the most impactful techniques is the shift from traditional air cooling to direct liquid cooling, DLC. Unlike conventional air-based systems, which require high-power fans and refrigeration units, DLC circulates a liquid coolant directly over the heat-generating components. This method leverages the much higher thermal conductivity and heat capacity of water compared to air, allowing for more efficient heat dissipation. This is very similar to how most gas-powered cars are cooled down. Liquid cooling systems operate in a closed-loop configuration where warm water absorbs heat from components and is subsequently cooled before being recirculated. In certain installations, waste heat is not discarded, but instead repurposed for district heating systems where it's transferred to nearby buildings to provide space heating or industrial process heat. Advanced power management is another leap forward. It optimizes energy use at both the hardware and the software level. One of the most widely adopted techniques is dynamic voltage and frequency scaling, DVFS, a method that adjusts processor voltage and clock speed in real time based on the workload. You see, CPUs and GPUs consume power in proportion to their clock speed and supply voltage, so aggressively reducing these parameters during less computationally demanding phases can yield substantial energy savings. That being said, scaling frequencies too aggressively can introduce performance penalties, as some workloads may become bottlenecked by the reduced throughput. To mitigate this, we're seeing the adoption of adaptive power management algorithms. These monitor workload characteristics and dynamically determine the optimal trade-off between power reduction and performance retention. At the system level, job scheduling plays a crucial role as well. Unlike traditional scheduling algorithms that prioritize resource availability and job completion time, energy-aware schedulers consider the power characteristics of workloads and strategically allocate jobs to optimize efficiency. For example, batch job management systems such as Slurm have been modified to schedule high-power workloads during periods of low electricity prices or high renewable energy availability, leveraging fluctuations in the power grid. Some centers actually employ co-scheduling strategies, where jobs with complementary power profiles are executed simultaneously, balancing overall power consumption to avoid excessive peak loads. We're also starting to see workload migration techniques, where jobs are dynamically relocated to nodes with the highest energy efficiency. Another key area is hardware heterogeneity, which has become a cornerstone of this movement. Traditional HPC architectures rely predominantly on homogeneous GPU clusters, but modern systems increasingly integrate a mix of specialized processors, GPUs, FPGAs, TPUs, etc. German centers have also been at the forefront of adopting ARM-based processors, which consume significantly less power per flop compared to a traditional x86. Side note, for more on ARM-based processors, see our episode from October 17th, evaluating ARM and RISC-V architectures for high-performance computing with Docker and Kubernetes. Anyway, storage infrastructure has also undergone significant optimizations. Unlike compute resources, which can be powered down or frequency scaled, storage systems have to maintain continuous operation, and this makes power savings more difficult. To address this, HPC centers have adopted tiered storage architectures, where frequently accessed data is stored on high-speed, power-efficient NVMe SSDs, and archival data is moved to low-power storage, like tape or high-capacity HDD arrays. Some sites even use intelligent caching systems, which analyze access patterns and dynamically shift data between high-speed and energy-efficient storage tiers to minimize unnecessary disk spin-up events. So, what can we learn from what they're doing in Germany? What can we apply to our own data centers? A few things, actually. As supercomputers continue to push towards exascale performance and beyond, the global demand for energy-efficient computing will only intensify. The strategies implemented in Germany demonstrate that high-performance computing and sustainability are not mutually exclusive. The adoption of liquid cooling, advanced power management, heterogeneous architectures, and intelligent scheduling allows supercomputing centers to dramatically reduce their environmental footprint while maintaining cutting-edge performance. This is relevant for all regions and all countries, not just those facing high electricity costs or emissions regulations, but the rest of the world as well. If you'd like to dive deeper into any of the innovations we covered today, but in more detail, then I'd highly recommend that you download the paper. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. Hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.